Alright, so the first thing we want to do is introduce ourselves.
Alright.
Hi, my name is Nate. I'm Nate.
Take two, they're small.
Alright. Hi, my name is Nate Fowler, founder of the Sigil Social Foundation, a mental health counseling facility in Temecula, California. And here is my friend.
I am Jay Williams, NLP trainer and international expert on persuasion and influence.
Fantastic.
Founder of Rapid Empowerment International.
That's right. So, we need to pick a name for our podcast.
Our podcast is about to be named. Neil the Podcast.
Neil the Podcast.
We're going to knight it. They always call the guy that's getting knighted Neil, no matter what his name really is.
Yeah.
Neil. No, it's John. Anyway.
I have lots of bad jokes I'm censoring.
Okay. Well, what fun is that?
All right. I was thinking maybe Sigilcast.
Sigilcast. I like it.
To get started, I kind of wanted to talk about what hypnosis is.
Oh, cool.
What NLP is.
All right.
What all these things that we've been doing for the last decade of combined time has been doing. What it is.
What they be.
Exactly.
All right. So this is going to be, what, a 3 or 4 hour podcast?
It could be, but we'll surmise it.
Oh, okay. We'll make it shorter.
Yes.
All right. Good. Summarize. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about hypnosis.
Hypnosis. I like it.
Hypnosis is trance.
Trance. But what's trance?
What is trance? Trance is a state that the mind can go into at any time, no matter what. And
you mean we do it all the time?
It's a natural state.
A natural state. Interesting.
Yes. What's interesting about trance is that it is a neutral emotional state.
Makes sense.
So that means that any person who is in trance can't have any emotional state in trance. That means that they can't be happy, but they also can't be sad. They can't be depressed. They can't be exuberant. They can't be anything except in trance. So when we put people in trance,
do we do that?
Oh yeah.
Only all the time. Okay.
Like right now.
aren't you?
Then they have the ability to go into their own minds in a way that makes it so that they can make changes that they normally would not be able to.
That's right. Because all hypnosis is?
Self-hypnosis.
Self-hypnosis.
That's right.
What does that mean?
That means that in order to be hypnotized, you are hypnotizing yourself.
That's right. So it's not the hypnotist's fault that you go into trance or choose to not.
That's right.
It's your own fault.
That's right. So when you're being hypnotized, when you're being put into trance, you're actually being guided into trance.
Right. So maybe we should take a minute and talk about some of the misconceptions of hypnosis.
Okay.
Because there tend to be a few of those out there.
Yes, there are.
Have you ever had somebody hold up the sign of the cross when you say, I'm a hypnotist? And they run away. Oh, no. Get away.
They're bad. They hide their eyes.
That's right. Don't look at me. Because there are some misconceptions about hypnosis.
Yes, there are.
And about trance, which is not in Paris. But there are misconceptions about hypnosis, such as, what are some of the misconceptions? Well, out of control.
Out of control,
right?
Yes.
I'll forget whatever happens, and you'll
That's
be able to.
That's another one, yeah.
You'll be able to control my mind.
Yes. I will be a zombie. You can control me completely.
That's right.
And while that would be nice in order to fix the problem,
we certainly wouldn't be recording podcasts right now.
Exactly.
If that were the case. So instead, people normally find that they're in total control when they're in hypnosis.
Right.
Going into trance. One of the things that I hear quite often is that people will say, I didn't feel like I was hypnotized.
Yes.
Because I was aware of what you were saying the whole time.
Exactly.
And no matter how many times we explain how hypnosis works, it still seems that they expect something different than the normal waking state.
Right. Then we get into this place where they feel like they could have opened their eyes at any time.
Of course.
And it's true, they could have opened their eyes.
But they just didn't want to.
That's right. That's right.
So what are some other misconceptions? Out of control is a big one.
The watch is another one.
The watch. Oh, yes. Watch the watch.
Yes. The watch swinging in front of your face.
Mind the spinning coin of gold.
Yes. Yes. The spinning coin, yes. Or the candle.
The candle. The flame of the candle, yes.
They actually still use that in some psychology teaching in universities.
Yes.
Unfortunately. It is a very old, old technique that has been much, much improved upon. And doesn't work very well. That's why they don't use it.
Well, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Although eye fixation can certainly lead into trance.
Yes.
It's certainly not the only method. There's lots and lots of ways.
Yes. It is one of the longest ways to get into trance.
Exactly.
Like if you're trying to go into this trance with eye fixation, you're going into it and you're going to spend time, a lot of time, hours and hours.
And let's face it. We all want to do something a little bit better with our time than stare at a candle, don't we?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Or a watch.
Or a watch.
Your hand would get tired.
That's right.
In the old days, they would actually basically do the eye fixation and try and tire you out.
And that would be what would exactly happen.
Yes.
Have you stare at a light for hours on end.
Until your eyes would close, and then maybe you would be in trance. But they weren't sure, because back then they didn't know how to gauge all these things.
How to tell.
How to tell you're in trance. And as they learned, then they started adding new techniques. And these new techniques are techniques that can get you into trance in half a second, 5 seconds, 10 seconds.
Really, as long as you like.
Yeah.
Or as short as you want.
Exactly. So that's... We call those techniques rapid inductions.
Yes, we do.
And we call those things...
Shock inductions.
Shock inductions. Ellman induction is a shorter one that you can do in about a minute and a half.
So it could be rapid or instant, if you will.
Yeah. So there's lots of different techniques that get you into trance. What's other misconceptions that are out there?
Other misconceptions. How about that I won't wake up? There was a show on TV where the gentleman got hypnotized.
Oh.
I think it was an episode of The Office. The man got hypnotized. The hypnotist has a heart attack while the man's in hypnosis. And, of course, he's doomed to live out the post-hypnotic suggestions for the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life.
And that's just sad.
Yeah.
And it's also not going to happen.
Right. Exactly.
I mean... It would be nice to be able to just stay in trance forever, but unfortunately, you're going to wake up at some point.
Exactly. So being able to go in and out of trance is always a choice.
Always.
Always.
Oh, another misconception.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you secrets while I'm under trance.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Speak to that.
Yeah. If you're going to, or even like, well, let's go even further. I can tell you, and you're in trance, and I can tell you to go rob a bank.
Yes.
Yes. So, like, basically any suggestion will work no matter what. There's no limit to how much suggestion works.
That's the misconception.
That's the misconception.
Reality
is. When in reality, you can actually choose at any time what you want to say, how you want to say it, anything that comes back and forth. So if you think you're going to tell your secrets and you don't want to, then of course you're not going to.
You're not really going to violate any of your moral values.
Right. You can't.
You can't do that.
You won't. You don't want to, so you won't. So, like, if I told you to go rob a bank and you were in trance, you would open your eyes and look at me and say,
"Really?
Do you have a gun?" No.
You know me too well.
Yeah. You would just say no.
Of course.
And you would say, "Well, what are you doing? I did that last week."
It wouldn't work out very well.
Yeah.
So good. That covers a lot of the misconceptions. Oh, and there's one more, of course. Anybody who's ever seen a stage hypnosis show.
Yes.
Thinks that they're going to act like an idiot or make some noise.
Yes.
Like barking like a chicken.
Exactly.
I can't even imagine what that would sound like. Can you?
So if you're going to bark like a chicken... just randomly, or because somebody on stage tells you to, one of the secrets of stage hypnosis...
That's right. We're going to pull back the curtain.
The secret is that all of those people chose to do that.
That's right. Because a stage hypnotist knows that a certain number of people in his audience are going to be easily suggestible.
Correct.
Somewhere around 20%.
Yep.
And out of those 20%, a certain number of those people will be extroverted and will be there only to have a good time and show off in front of their friends. And having the hypnotist there to tell them to do silly things gives them an excuse to do the silly things that they would love to do if they didn't have an excuse, but the excuse gives them a reason to make it okay.
Right.
And to act silly in front of their friends. So while they are definitely in trance, definitely in hypnosis, they're choosing to act out those silly things that they do.
Yeah.
Or funny things that they do because they want to be the star of the show.
Yeah.
And the hypnotist allows them to do that.
Yep. So for example, if let's take it a step further. The hypnotist isn't usually going to ask people who are drunk onto stage.
That's right. And once in a while he gets one of them that are anyway, and it makes it either really, really funny or really, really sad.
Yeah.
No personal experience
there. Yes. And that's part of why one of the other things is that trance doesn't work while you're intoxicated. So
intoxication is an entirely different form of trance.
Exactly,
however,
exactly. It makes it more tricky to do certain things when you're in trance.
Certainly.
So I'm being careful with my words because it actually, when you're intoxicated, it actually shuts certain parts of the brain down. We don't want you to shut your brain down. We want your brain to be active and fully aware because that way trance works best for you.
Absolutely. Oh, it reminds me of another misconception.
What's that?
That gullible people are easily hypnotized.
Yes, yes.
We should talk about that one.
Yes, or dumb people.
Dumb people, gullible, dumb, whatever you want to say. Yeah. People of less than average intelligence are easily hypnotized.
Right.
They're already predisposed to being led, as it were, is the misconception.
Is the misconception. When in reality, the smarter you are, the easier it is to hypnotize you.
That's right. Easier it is to go into trance, the higher your intelligence level.
So the reason this happens is because you can focus better.
That's right.
Your brain is more active. It is more aware. It goes back to the other thing I was saying, which is if you are more capable, more intelligent, more aware of your activity in your mind, you can easily go into trance. And you don't even have to be aware the activity is happening, but your mind will be.
That's right. So really, if you're of at least average intelligence.
Yes.
And you feel like following suggestions, following instructions, and are able to do so, you can go easily into trance and experience the fun and effectiveness of hypnosis.
I mean, if you're smart, you're probably working a very stressful job.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes not, but sometimes you are. And when you choose that stressful job, you need to be able to have an outlet. And your brain has this natural outlet to go into a very relaxing state and be stress-free at any time of the day.
Yep.
And sometimes it will force you to do that when you're driving home and
that's
you
right.
have something that's called drive trance.
Yes, indeed.
When your brain is on full active, I need to think about something, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about it, and then while you're driving home, you're still thinking about it, and you realize you're already home.
How did I get here? What just happened? I don't remember the drive.
Exactly.
That was weird.
It was like 30 seconds passed and you're already home. How did that happen?
It's because your mind naturally goes into trance at different times of the day.
It just happens all the time. Sometimes it happens even while you're watching commercials.
Oh, especially while you're watching commercials or TV.
Exactly.
And you set aside that part of your mind that chooses to decide whether something is real or fantasy, called your critical faculty.
Sometimes it happens when you're reading a book.
Indeed.
You'll read the same line over and over and over.
That's right. And wonder, what did that say?
Yeah. What did the last page say? What did the last paragraph say?
Am I reading a book?
Yes. These are all forms of trance that we naturally go into.
Indeed.
And if we go into these states naturally, because our brain wants to, then obviously it's something that we should be able to utilize and use to make it so that our lives can be more enhanced by it when we can choose to use it.
Excellent. So, in talking about enhancing lives, we should probably talk about the difference between hypnotism and hypnotherapy.
Sounds good.
Okay. We've been talking about trance kind of and trance is common to both hypnosis and hypnotherapy. That's kind of the gateway, if you will.
Exactly.
Into the unconscious part of the mind.
When it comes to hypnotherapy can do a lot of things. Hypnotherapy can help you quit smoking. It can help you deal with fears. It can help you deal with all sorts of different
unwanted behaviors, unwanted conditions. Exactly. So the basically the difference between hypnosis and hypnotherapy is hypnotherapy is a subset of hypnosis with trance and suggestion specifically applied in order to create behavioral change.
Absolutely.
And while hypnosis is just simply the effect of trance.
Right.
And sometimes the suggestions given, for example, in a stage hypnotist show may not be exactly geared to change and affect behavior long term, but only for a short time for fun.
Right.
So hypnotherapy is more of a conditional application.
Yes.
Cool. Hypnotherapy is more of a long-term conditional change.
Right. And that allows it to be much more effective because the person wants the change and they can have all the things dealt with in order to get that change.
Definitely. If we're going to continue the hypnosis conversation and get deeper down the rabbit hole a little bit, so to speak, if you want to, we can talk about the things that happen during or that can happen during hypnosis that normally your conscious mind isn't aware of.
Right.
But we do these things anyway. We do them naturally.
Okay.
Everything that happens in hypnosis is just simply being directed while your conscious mind is present, if you like it to be. Or it can, go have a little vacation if you want to. But most of the time in light hypnosis, the conscious mind will be aware of the suggestions and what's going on. And everything that happens in trance, as Nate was saying, has already happened naturally. It's already a naturally occurring process that you're just not usually aware of. For example, the drive trance.
Right.
We're not usually thinking about that. But in hypnosis, we can actually suggest that state so that a temporary form of amnesia may develop to a suggestion, for example. So that one doesn't remember the suggestion that one asks us to insert so they could follow it.
And it's something that they've requested, and in order for them to have that happen, they want it to happen.
Right.
So it's an interesting form of amnesia because they actually do remember it, they just chose not to.
They have to remember it in order to forget it.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yes. It's a logical loophole, if you will.
And in a similar way, let's say deleting certain information or deleting something visually from your consciousness at the moment. Happens on stage hypnotist shows all the time.
Right.
Right? This chair isn't here anymore.
Right.
The number 4 has disappeared from your memory.
Exactly.
So deleting things. Your unconscious mind does that all the time.
It does.
Naturally. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been walking around the house in a hurry to leave, had your keys in your hand, and looking frantically for the keys so that you could leave. It happened to me more than once, unfortunately.
Or talking on your cell phone and looking for your cell phone.
Looking for the phone so you can find that phone. Actually, I had my cell phone in my hand one day, and I had the navigation program on before I left the house, looking right at the map on the screen of the phone.
Yeah.
And remember asking, hey, where's my phone? I need it so we can leave. It wasn't a phone at that moment. It was a map.
Right.
Right? So the unconscious mind can delete things automatically. We're all used to it. It all happens all the time. So in hypnosis, we just simply direct the unconscious mind with the conscious mind's awareness to have that happen.
In fact, we delete and distort and generalize a lot of things that we experience on a day-to-day basis.
Right. We have to.
We have to be able to store information, and we can't store every single piece of it unless we actually want to. And we don't need to, so we don't want to, so we throw most of it away.
Right, because the conscious mind can't consciously process all of the information that's available.
Right. The conscious mind can only process a few things at a time.
Right.
In order for it to process those things, we throw around a number in training, which is usually anywhere between 7 and 9. Things that you can process at the same time out of the 2 million things that we typically experience from second to second. And those things that we are experiencing are all cut down and modified and squished together into so that they can fit into those 7 or 9 things that we can think about.
Right. And the rest of the information is deleted, distorted, and generalized.
Yep.
So we can make that happen.
A good example of this is when you have witnesses to any event. Mm-hmm. So let's say there is a race car event, mm-hmm. and you're watching people who are watching the race, and they're talking to each other, and one person will say, "I saw him pass the person just a little bit just then," and the other person will say, no, "I saw him pass the other person just then a little bit." And you can even go further. There's, you know, you have crime witnesses that'll say completely opposite things that happened.
Right. Or two people see an accident happen.
Right.
And how many stories are there?
Exactly.
Yeah, three, because you have to include the camera, right?
Yeah.
The camera records it. But the two individual accounts are going to be vastly different because we all have different filtering systems.
Right. And it doesn't necessarily mean that motivation is filtering it as much as just the idea of having to fit so much information in one place filters right. it.
Our filters do the deleting, distorting, and generalizing so that our experience of the situation is subjective.
Right.
And it's different.
Right.
That's a little deep down the rabbit hole for this conversation.
But part of the reason that we bring it up is that being able to understand that we only take in so many things allows us to understand that when you're in trance, you only have to take in so many things.
Right.
And those so many things, when you're experiencing trance, for example, we have people who will say things that are common to being in trance, which is either I'm very cold right now or I'm very hot right now.
And that could be a suggestion, right? It exactly. happens on the stage hypnotist show, right?
Exactly.
You'll notice the temperature in the room getting colder and colder and colder and colder.
Exactly.
And you'll call out some numbers like it's 72 and it's 64 and now it's 50 degrees and now it's 30 degrees and oh my gosh, it's getting really, really cold and you got to stay warm. And your unconscious mind will allow your body to feel the sensations of that even though it's not really physically happening.
Right.
This brings us to a subject called trance logic.
Trance logic is very interesting because we all experience trance logic even when we're not in trance.
That's right.
It's part of the logic system that our brain has in place that allows us to justify what we are experiencing.
Right. And let's put it in simple terms.
Okay.
Let's create the analogy of when you dream. Right?
Okay.
When you go to sleep.
Right.
Your conscious mind goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And your unconscious mind dreams. So when your unconscious mind is dreaming, anything can happen, right? Anything
right.
can happen. There's no such thing as it doesn't make sense in a dream, right? Whatever happens, happens just perfectly. And so when it happens, your conscious mind isn't there to justify or try and make sense of it because the making sense part, the logic part, is in the conscious mind. So in the dream state is like trance logic. When you come out of the dream state and your conscious mind is trying to remember what happened in the dream, that's when you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Well, you know, I was in the dream and I was here and then I was over here and that wait a minute, that just doesn't make any sense. That's silly. And so the conscious mind dismisses it.
Right.
So it's a perfect way of describing trance logic. That's why people on a stage hypnosis show can see certain body parts of the assistant fall to the ground and they run over to replace them because their conscious mind is still aware but kind of on vacation.
Right.
So that trance logic can exist and things don't have to make sense anymore. Or they can hallucinate and see a dog or a tennis ball or something like that where there's really nothing there, but their unconscious mind can create it just like in the dream state. Except normally in the dream state, the conscious mind isn't there. So the conscious mind is going, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is weird, but it's kind of okay.
We experience trance logic on almost a daily basis. And occasionally you'll run into somebody who will actually use trance logic right in front of you, and that will be something like, "I thought you were always a smoker," and they'll say, "No, I'm not a smoker anymore," or "I was never a smoker. I just did it because you know I felt like I needed to, or I needed to look cool right then," or they'll have some kind of excuse, and that excuse is their trance logic way of saying, "No, it didn't have to be that way," and that trance logic way of saying that is actually something we experience on a day-to-day basis. We come up with an excuse that gives us the ability to say, "Oh yeah, that person's arm just fell off."
Right.
Or there's of course a talking frog over on that chair that the hypnotist on stage is telling me to
of course.
Talk to.
It's like TV.
Right.
Like going to see a movie. You set aside that part, that critical faculty,
yes.
so that you can enjoy the entertainment experience. And the same thing can happen under suggestion.
Yep. Because if that didn't happen, then we wouldn't be able to go see movies. We would go to movies and we would see people flying around on screen and we'd say, this is stupid. People can't fly. And we would walk out and the movie sales would drop.
That's right.
But that's not what happens, because we want to drop our critical faculty. We want to believe and have fun and have experience and be entertained.
Yep, because that part of the mind loves to be creative.
Yep.
And so it can either be creative or experience creativity in any other form.
So hypnosis. When we talk about hypnosis, we talk about therapy. Mm-hmm. We talk about stage hypnosis.
Right. We talk about talking about trance.
We talk about talking about trance.
We talk about talking people into trance.
Oh, yes.
Conversational hypnosis.
Conversational hypnosis.
That's kind of fun.
Yes.
That was a kick.
Yeah.
We're in Southern California, so sometimes things may seem to shake.
Yes.
And sometimes things shake for real.
So, if we are using conversational hypnosis, which is one of the more fun ways to use hypnosis,
right,
casually, whether it's in therapy or outside of therapy.
It's more fun outside of therapy.
It's more fun outside of therapy.
Well, or just as much fun.
It can be.
That's what they say.
Yes. Conversational hypnosis is something that Milton Erickson actually is...
He's known for it.
Known for it.
He was amazing,
yes,
at conversational hypnosis.
Yes. In fact, he discovered that you don't even need conversation because of certain things, but you need conversation to guide people around in trance. You don't need conversation to get people into trance, but you need it to guide them into trance.
And sometimes conversation can easily lead them into trance without them actually being aware of it.
Correct.
And that's so gentle and nice and permissive.
Exactly. Because we all want to go into trance.
Aren't you?
Exactly. So we all want to go into trance all the time. We all want to go into trance when we're talking to people. In fact, most people have had the glassy-eyed look on somebody else's face when they're talking to them, and their eyes kind of glaze over, and they're like, are you listening to me? And the other person says, yeah. And then you say, well, what did I just say?
You said, are you listening to me?
Exactly.
That's right.
That's them going into trance, and it may be your fault.
And their choice.
Yes, and their choice.
It's like daydreaming. Daydream is a great form of trance.
Yes.
And sometimes we can daydream when somebody's talking.
Yes. Conversational hypnosis is something that we actually use on each other all the time. We just don't know it. And it's part of, some people have charisma when they walk into a room and they give speeches and they give...
For example.
Yes. Politicians use conversational hypnosis to dramatic effect.
Successful ones use it even more.
Yes.
In fact, in the 2008 campaign, the candidate who won used conversational hypnosis to the tune of over 60% of the time, close to 70% if I remember correctly.
I think it was 74%.
So quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because it was nice, ambiguous language. And so people's unconscious mind can read in whatever they pretty much want.
Yeah.
And it's a very powerful way of motivating people, because it's powerful and it's motivational. You know, it's talking about communications and wisdom and insights and all those things that one could want, should one want to, don't
Correct.
You?
That's right.
Yes.
And his opponent used only 28%, which is on average how much we all use on a daily basis.
Lots of details.
Yeah, conversational
details.
Language, very list-like.
Yes.
You know, we'll do
bullet
this.
Points, details. I've got 27 points to turn this country around.
That's right.
But if one disagrees with point number 3, for example, or point number 17, they may throw at the entire candidate simply because of that disagreement on one key point.
Right.
While ambiguity lends to agreement. We'll talk about that more in another podcast.
Definitely.
Because that's a subject all to itself.
All to itself.
But just know that conversational hypnosis is a lot of fun, and if you learn how to do it effectively, you can have a blast. If you're in sales or in helping your relationships or just your communication with other people, it's invaluable.
All right, so we talked a little bit about hypnosis today, and we'll talk a lot more about it later in further episodes.
Yep. If you have questions, email us. Let us know. What do you want us to talk about? What do you want to hear?
Yes. And since the podcast is available on both of our websites, And my website is sigilsocial.org. That's sigilsocial.org. And I represent the Sigil Social Foundation, which you can learn more about at our website. Jay Williams represents the Rapid Empowerment International website.
That's right. Company. That's rapidempowerment.com. And you can find out more about hypnosis, hypnotherapy trainings, questions that you want to have answered. Go there, find out. There are free resources that will just knock your socks off. And it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
To learn how to communicate on a whole different level. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And we look forward to hearing from you next time.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Sigilcast.
Sigilcast.
That's right.